We got another very special guest on the line right now, Congresswoman Yvette Harrell from New Mexico's 2nd Congressional District, who's joining us now to talk about this really disturbing story out of New Mexico, where apparently last week, the U.S. I'm going to read directly from a Fox News report. Last week, the U.S. Attorney's Office in New Mexico announced that Shah Mahmoud Salab, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but that's the guy's name, had made an initial appearance in federal court on a charge of coercion and enticement of a minor, but did not identify him as an Afghan refugee. The Salab is alleged to have approached a 12-year-old boy at a park near a school in Las Cruces, New Mexico. He is said to have asked him personal questions before using his cell phone to show the victim, quote, photos and videos that were sexual in nature, end quote, and then inappropriately touching the youngster. When the boy moved away, Salab is accused of punching him in the face multiple times. According to the complaint, the boy attempted to call 911, retreated into a restroom stall, but was followed by Salab, who then kissed the boy, put $20 into his hand, and then attempted to force the victim to touch him. The boy ultimately escaped when another person arrived at the restroom. If convicted, Salab faces a minimum of 10 years and up to life in prison, officials said. Congresswoman, thanks for joining us here on Breitbart News Saturday. Tell us about this really remarkable story and what you've discovered regarding this individual.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me this morning. And it's a horrific story, and this should not be happening to the children of America. And if you'll recall last year when they were doing the resettlement, and naturally the military did an amazing job with the Operation Welcome Allies, but we raised the red flag a number of times saying, look, we do not think that these refugees are being vetted properly. And now it's coming out that indeed they were not vetted properly. We do not know who's in our nation. And last year we had more refugees relocated in New Mexico in terms of the Operation Welcome Allies program than any other state. And this is why it was concerning, because even when we had custody on the military base in New Mexico, we had five Afghans that had actually attacked a female military member. And this is when we're saying, look, if they're going to do that on a military installation, what about the kids? And this is a failure of the Biden administration bringing people in without vetting properly.
Right. If Joe Biden wasn't in the White House and Michelle Lujan Grisham wasn't the governor of New Mexico, this man, Shah Mahmoud Salab, would not have been in America, never mind in New Mexico, to commit this crime. And this poor 12-year-old boy who was the victim of this heinous attack would not have been victimized, and he would be going about his life, you know. And that's what's so awful about this, is that the reason why this man was here in America was because of who's in office right now. As Barack Obama said, Congresswoman, elections have consequences.
Right. That's exactly right. And we're reeling from all the consequences right now under this administration. And you're right, the drawdown out of Afghanistan was disastrous. We know the Taliban were the ones doing the quote-unquote vetting and getting people on the aircraft. And we understand that we do have people that help the American forces and others that needed to seek refuge in the United States. But when we have a member, a family of 20 and more coming into the United States of America, knowing they're not being vetted properly, and there was no way to go back and look at State Department or Homeland Security documents to even see, because most of these people are not even in a system that's accessible by those departments. And we did send a letter, myself and many of my colleagues, to the Department of State, to the Biden administration, asking them, what do they plan to do to keep the American people safe? How can we ensure that these background checks are actually being done and that we can trust the system? And of course, to date, we have not heard back from the administration, because it doesn't fit their narrative. They know it was a disaster the way they pulled out of Afghanistan, leaving our equipment, our troops, you know, the vulnerabilities that are on the table now. And it's just like you said, if it was a different person in the White House, this would never have happened. And so you're absolutely right in that elections do have consequences. And sadly, the American children and the families are the ones paying for those consequences.
Okay, so now we know now about this one guy who got into the country courtesy of an airlift that Joe Biden gave him, right? Like, so these airplanes that brought these people here to the United States from Afghanistan as part of the evacuation. By the way, we want to help the good ones, right? Like the ones that help us that are good people,
sure.
Right? Like the translators, et cetera. Like we're not saying we shouldn't help them, but we need to make sure that the ones that get into America are supposed to be here and are the good guys and that are not people that are going to engage in behavior like this. And that's where the government has failed. But the point is that we know that this guy's here, Shah Mahmood Salab, but how many more like him are here, right? Do we know that? Are there concerns that there are of the tens of thousands of other refugees that they brought on these airlift planes out of Afghanistan to the United States, that there are more of people that would engage in rapes, murders, sexual assault of children? I mean, this is really disturbing to me, and I'm curious, are there more of them out there across New Mexico and across the United States?
Yeah, and that's one of the things we can't be sure of, but we already know there's been a conviction in Wisconsin. There was the girl that was raped up in Portland last year, conviction there. Now we're seeing this happening in New Mexico with this minor. We also, again, saw on Fort Bliss last year when the refugees were first here, a group of five who attacked a service woman, a service member in our U.S. military. And this is why we were saying, if they're so brazen to attack women in uniform on a military installation, what makes anybody think that their neighborhoods are safe, their children are safe, our schools are safe? So, yes, this is going to continue to happen because the Biden administration failed the American people by not ensuring that we could trust what they were doing in terms of the drawdown and who they were bringing into this nation. We had no way to verify background checks and criminal backgrounds on these people. And you're right, not everybody is a bad apple. But when you let up to 80,000 people into the country without doing a proper vetting or an adequate vetting, then we can know that it's not if it'll happen, it's when, you know, and where next time. Because now most of these people have been pushed into the interior of our nation and we don't even know where they are.
Right. And what's so disturbing about this is that, again, if the federal government, if Joe Biden and the in this administration had not brought these people here, these crimes wouldn't have been committed. That's what's so tragic about it, is that,
yep,
that these didn't need to happen. But Congresswoman, let me ask you this, is that are they cooperating? Is the administration, the State Department, the military, et cetera, are they cooperating with your guys' inquiries into this? I know you guys are in the minority right now. You're five seats away from a U.S. House majority. And I'm hoping that you guys take it in November, on November the 8th. And I think you will. But the point is that are they cooperating now? Are they answering your questions? Are they dodging you? Where do things stand with that right now? And then I want to get into what you're going to do afterwards if and when you get the majority.
Yeah, well, they are not. They're dodging the issue. Like I said, the letter that we penned to the White House last year never has been responded. We actually asked for Mayorkas to come before the Oversight Committee for questioning about the drawdown and the refugees that were being led into the nation. That was met again with deaf ears, and not only from the administration, but from the chairman of the Oversight Committee. You know, she would not use the subpoena power to bring Mayorkas to the committee so that we could ask the right questions and bring transparency and information to the American people. So we are not seeing any willingness on their part. But what we will do when we take the majority in November is we will be bringing Mayorkas to the oversight hearing. We will be bringing Milley and Blinken and all of these people who owe the American people an explanation on how they plan to keep us safe. And they need to talk about their failed policies when it comes to vetting. And we have to know who is in our nation so we're not setting ourselves up for failure or setting ourselves up for another 9/11.
Yeah. And by the way, I would hope that you guys bring not just the administration officials before, and I certainly hope subpoenas are on the table, but I hope you bring these criminals in too, right? Like, I mean, I want to hear this guy testify. Shah Mahmood Salab, I want to see why he thought this was acceptable, right? Like, I mean, we can bring a translator if needed and have him testify before the American public so people can see, you know, and then these other ones that committed the crimes, like you said, the one in Wisconsin and then these other places. I want to hear from them. right? Like, I think they should be brought in their jumpsuits from prison and their handcuffs and be testified before the American people. So I think that would be a really revealing moment if Joe Biden has to. And then, you know, you can bring the State Department official responsible for placing them in the community where they ended up, can testify right after them, right? Like, and, you know, that would be a really powerful moment for the American people to see that. But Congresswoman, another thing I wanted to talk to you about too. This week there was this really troubling report about your Democrat opponent in New Mexico's second district, Gabe Vasquez. There's a story from the Washington Free Beacon. The headline is "Undercover Cop Hater: New Mexico Congressional Hopeful Uses Fake Name to Trash Cops and Then Deletes the Evidence." In this thing, he apparently says, "quote It's not just about defunding police." Quote, it's about defunding a system that privileges white people over everyone else. And quote, that's your Democrat opponent going far beyond defunding police. He wants to defund the whole system. What do you say to that guy?
I say he's on the right path. And if he wants to support people like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the American people want to support our police officers. We all want safe communities. We all want safe areas for our children to grow up in. And this is just radical. I mean, this is what really separates people who are serious about freedom, serious about what's going on in our nation, and those that just want to shoot their mouth off. And I don't care what he calls himself, whether he calls himself James Hall or Gabe Vasquez. He is about defunding the police. We need to stand strong with our police officers and law enforcement agencies that every day put themselves on the line to keep our nation safe, our communities safe. And it is, like you say, far beyond just defunding the police. They want to dismantle the police. They want to dismantle the system. And again, he's not going to talk about securing the border or the economy or things that matter to the American people, like the cost of living. He's going to go on this rant and talk about, you know, defunding the police. And we need to stand up for our law enforcement, and we need to take back the House so that we can properly fund our men and women in blue, and that we can get our country back on track.
Yeah. And how do you think things are going? Just as this will be the last thing I ask you about here, because at the top of the show, we had on Tom Emmer. He's the chairman of the NRCC, and he was breaking down for us where things are at out there across the country. And we see all these professional media prognosticators out there around America saying, oh, the Republicans are not going to do as well as we thought they were. Oh, and the Democrats are doing better. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi and Steny Hoyer are out there saying they're going to keep the majority. They said the same thing in the lead up to the last election. I'll never forget it. Right. They said the Republicans would lose 15 seats. They actually gained 15 seats. So they were off by 30. You're one of the ones who flipped the district in 2020 from a Democrat control. How do you think things are going out there? Do you think the Republicans are doing really strongly, not so strongly? Are they going to win this thing? How's it looking right now? We're just over 5 weeks from Election Day.
Yeah, I think Republicans look very strong across the nation. And I'll tell you what's really great is the commitment to America, where we can outline the plan we have in play day one. Let's get rid of the 87,000 IRS agents, because no American should be worried about being audited by the IRS. But we have a plan to stop the spending. There's such overspending in Washington, D.C., and of course, that's driving up the cost of living. We need to embrace energy independence again. That will push the cost down at the pump. We need to make sure people have the tools they need to keep their businesses open, secure the border, and keep this fentanyl crisis from killing. Everybody in America should be very alarmed by the number of fentanyl overdoses. We've got a plan. We've got a way to bring the country back to a place where we can believe in. And voters are talking about the same thing you and I are talking about, regardless of party affiliation. They're hurting in their wallets. And I'll tell you what's on the ballot this year is freedom. You know, the freedom to live in a country that has been so good to us, the freedom to support our veterans and those who need our help, but not to put the American people on the back burner like we're seeing right now. I mean, what country in the world has open borders and allows people to enter their nation illegally? I mean, this makes no sense whatsoever. And the cost to the American people, they know this is wrong. They are tired of the Democrats sending more money to Ukraine to protect their border, but not to even look at our southern border to see the chaos there. So I believe we're on the right track of the issue. Again, commitment to America is laying out the plan. And when I'm meeting voters all across the district that I represent, this is what we're talking about: economy, cost of gas, cost of groceries, what's going to happen this winter, open border, fentanyl, educating our kids, and safety in our communities.
All right, Congresswoman Yvette Harrell from the great state of New Mexico, I really want to thank you for joining us here on Breitbart News Saturday. Where can people go to learn more about you, get involved if they so choose?
They can go to herald.house.gov, or they can go to yvetteharrell.com. That's our campaign address, lays out my issues, our plans, and what we're going to be doing for the next number of weeks. And I tell you, I know freedom's on the ballot, so we're going to work hard to earn these votes in this new district, and we're going to get New Mexico and America back on track.